I'd like to welcome you to worship here at First Reformed Church. Glad to see you here, smiling faces. We're also very thankful for all of us who are connected with agriculture and anybody here who grows a garden. We're thankful for the beautiful rain we had last night and just praise the Lord for his faithfulness. For our opening, to all who come from near and far, come to worship. All who thirst for God, come to worship. All whose hearts overflow with gratitude and hope, come to worship. All whose hearts may be filled with despair or grief, come to worship. All who come with doubts or questions about life in Jesus, come to worship. As we're gathered here, shall we turn to number 36, we have come into his house, and sing those verses. Thank you. Let's turn to 323, and we'll stand to sing Satisfied. 323. Thank you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Jesus, in your name we pray, come and fill our hearts today. Lord, give us strength to live for you and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder, cause nothing has the power to save but your name. Amen. Please be seated. And we will turn to hymnal number 634, a reading together with on God's commandments. And we'll read it responsively. Page 634. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor.
Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's
Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Thank you. We have some announcements. A lot of this is in bulletin, but I have given an announcement this morning. I'll begin with Michelle Borkland's father was put in hospice on Friday. They received a call this morning that he isn't doing well. Let us please pray for him and his family, and they would surely appreciate that. So obviously he's not doing well, that he has to be in special care. So let's remember the Borkland family in this time of stress, for we know the Lord's there. And we're very happy, again, to say that Pastor Dave and Ruth are back in their home again. And I do hear that they'd made a trip out west of Auga last night to commemorate Lane's graduation. Glad to hear that they were able to get out. We should continue to pray for him for good sleep and to renew his strength. And we'd like to add a special note for prayer for Bernita Koima. She has to go through her dialysis and chemo. Things have changed a bit, and so she has to do it in Brookings. And so extra stress there, too. We pray for them. We pray for Dawn, Lucas, and Jody Kerner as they continue with their therapy of chemo. And we think of Sue Feltus, who's going to have her other knee replaced on this week, and she's getting ready for that. And we just pray for a good surgery and also for good and healthy recovery. And you'll notice in the bulletin that Howard Rosendahl and Bill and Sherry Van Beek have new addresses, so to keep in touch, you can see where their addresses are. So could we please bow in a time of congregational prayer? Heavenly Father, to the hills we lift our eyes. From there our help shall arise. Lord, you are our aid. You will guard through all our dangers and will not let our foot slip or fall, for you never slumber or sleep. We praise you with grateful hearts for the bountiful rain that you sent this past week and again last night. We ask that you forgive us when we become impatient and help us to rely on you for all things. We thank you that Pastor Dave could return home again. We pray that you would heal his body Send refreshing and sound sleep. Give him strength for his tasks that lie ahead. We thank you for Pastor Frank and Sue. We pray that his words and teaching will be an inspiration and blessing to our congregation. And we pray that they will also be blessed by their attendance here at First Reformed Church. Your word in Isaiah 52, verse 7 says, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger who brings good news, the good news of peace and salvation, the news that the God of Israel reigns." We pray for Bernita as she continues dialysis and chemo treatments. We pray for Dawn and Jody as they continue their chemo treatments. And we pray for Sue Feltus as she has her knee replaced this week. We just pray for the surgeons and nurses and support staff and Pastor Frank, too, as he supports, and the family that hold her so dear. And we just pray for good healing. And we just pray also for Elaine Tucker. We pray that even in her state of confusion, she may have the peace of God. And we know she loves you, Lord. And we pray for our country and its leaders. Give them wisdom to do what is right. May they seek your will in the decisions that they make. We know that you tell us that a people who seek the Lord will be blessed. We lift up before you the consistory of First Reformed Church as they meet this week, the elders and deacons, and Pastor Dave. Guide and direct them as they direct the congregation and the ministry and the direction of the church. Give them strength and inspiration from the Holy Spirit. We pray that you'll give us the energy and strength we need to do all that is before us. Please help us to keep our eyes on you and not on the cares of the world. Help us not to be anxious, worried, or stressed. Father God, we give you all glory, honor, and praise. In your holy name we pray. Amen. We'll have a special number now by Jenna and Michelle Vanderwall.
His home. command to guard you in all of your ways. Upon their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand. And hold you in the palm of his hand.
Thank you, Jenna and Michelle, for that beautiful song and the wonderful message you brought. Shall we turn to number 161? Fill me now, 161, and sing those verses, and shall we rise as we sing?
A beautiful rainy morning. I like the rain, and I suppose at least 90% of you do too, don't you? Well, as you see from the bulletin, Pastor Dave is going to be back next week preaching from Romans, and I am so looking forward to that. My last year and a half that I spent at my previous church before I retired, I went through Romans pericope by pericope. I had to get that word in again, pericope. Well, I still got the podium up here. I can still use that word. But anyway, I'm looking forward to it. I did relay to Pastor Dave that if he needs a little help, I am going to work on a sermon for next week. And if he feels tired, I will sure get up here again. But it sounds like he's doing really well. Well, as we have been going through the Gospel of Mark, we have been ferreting out a few themes, and I think Mark has. I love reading Mark's work, and as I told you before, as we started Mark, that I liked his writing. He's a very fast-paced guy, and he was writing to the folks in Rome that were really struggling with persecution, and I think he did a wonderful job of hopefully calming spirits there. But the theme that we're going to be working on today is hunger. And we're going to be talking how Christ offers the only food that will truly satisfy our hunger. So let's look at chapter 8 of Mark, verses 1 through 10, I will be reading. And Mark writes, "During those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, 'I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance.' And his disciples answered, 'But where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them?' 'How many loaves do you have?' Jesus asked. 7, they replied. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. When he had taken the 7 loaves and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people, and they did so. They had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them also and told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied." The people ate and were satisfied. "Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 men were present, and having sent them away, he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the regions of Dalmanutha." May God bless the reading of his word. Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, thank you for your word. Lord, open our hearts and our minds today as we go through this passage. Please guide us in knowing that it is your word. It is your word. And through the Holy Spirit, you have a message for us today that you want us to know. Open our hearts, open our minds. May we be prepared for that message. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Well, I thought I would start this with one of my favorite stories. This is about a turtle family who went on a picnic. They had prepared 2 years for their outing. The family left home searching for a suitable place. During the second year of their journey, they found it. For about 6 months, they cleared the area, unpacking the picnic basket and completing the arrangements. They discovered, however, that they had forgotten the salt. A picnic without salt just will not do, will it? So after a lengthy discussion, the youngest turtle was chosen to retrieve the salt at home. The little turtle, he whined and he cried and he wobbled in his shell, but he agreed to go on only one condition, that nobody would eat until he returned. Well, the family consented and the little turtle left. 3 years had passed and the little turtle had not returned. 5 years, 6 years. Then on the 7th year of his absence, the daddy turtle could no longer contain his hunger. He announced that he was going to have a sandwich. So while he was unwrapping the sandwich, a little turtle popped out behind the tree shouting, "See, I knew that you couldn't wait. Now I'm not going to go get the salt." Oh, to be a turtle. Well, we have a story this morning, don't we? Where a group of people were waiting for a long time to eat. They didn't wait as long as a turtle family. But 3 days, I think, for me anyway, 3 days is a long time to go without eating. And it's kind of like the story of the 5,000 men that was earlier in Mark's gospel. But this time, there were only 4,000 men, and we don't know how many women and children there were. But our lesson today has to do with being hungry. And it has to do with accepting the food that Jesus is offering us to eat. So what is the difference? What is the difference that of the food that Jesus is offering to feed us? Well, we're going to be talking about spiritual food today. We're going to be talking about spiritual food. You know, it's really easy. It's really very easy to be spiritually hungry in this world today. I find myself, if I watch TV, if I watch too much news, if I read too much about what's going on in the world, sometimes I have a real hunger. I have a real hunger for Christ. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, the hunger that we have for Jesus. You know, this crowd here had gathered around Jesus. Some of them had lived kind of close, but Jesus said that many of them had come from a very long distance. Many of them brought some provisions, probably for one meal or one day of eating. But the story says that Jesus says that many of them went 3 days without eating at all. Have you ever gotten so involved in your work? And I'm pretty sure some of you guys are on a tractor out there plowing fields, and I bet you sometimes you forget to bring a lunch, or you sometimes forget to stop to eat, don't you? When you're so busy. I know I've gotten so busy working on a sermon or doing some studying for preparing a sermon. But believe me, I have never gone 3 days without eating in my whole life. They were so wrapped up into listening to Jesus preach and watching him heal people that they didn't want to leave for fear that they might miss something that was going on or something that he said. Their attention was so riveted to Jesus every second that he was with them. But now, after 3 days, they had a very physical need for food. These folks were hungry. They were hungry. But before we talk about what Jesus does about the problem, I want to talk about spiritual hunger. I want to talk about being spiritually hungry. You know, it's easy to become spiritually hungry in our world today, as I said. Have you ever had such a deep spiritual hunger that you just didn't think that you could ever satisfy it? There's a psalm that I really like, Psalm 42, and I'm sure most of you know it, verses 1 and 2. It says, "As a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet God?" Isn't that a beautiful psalm? You ever feel like that? You ever feel like that? Just so thirsty or so hungry for God's presence in your life? Doesn't it make you want to just get down on your knees and pray for God to feed you? Let me ask you a question. What brought you into this sanctuary this morning? What brought you here? Is it because you're a Christian and you just know that that's where you're supposed to be on Sunday mornings? Or maybe your mother and your father, as you were growing up, brought you to church every Sunday, and you want to continue that? Is it because the music is so great? Is it because that I'm such a dynamic preacher that you just feel like you got to be here to hear what I have to say? Or might it be because you have a real spiritual hunger to be in God's worship on Sunday mornings? That's what I feel. You know, as we had gone, how long did we go without worshiping in service? Without being in this church on Sunday morning? How long did we go? I know I was down in Florida, and we were going to a church down there pretty close to the campground that we were living in. But as we came back towards South Dakota, we really didn't get into a church. And as we got back to Sioux Falls, well, that's when all the not leaving the house thing kind of came about. And I don't know how long it was, but I missed church. And I'm sure all of you did too. You know, we come in here to worship God because we have a spiritual hunger to be in God's presence. You know, worship is about pleasing God, but it's also about the hunger that we have for that fellowship that we have with Him. And I'm sure you have all heard this before, but that hunger that we have comes from God Himself. You know, I'm sure you've heard the fact that we've all got a great big hole in our heart, and God is the only one that can fill that hole. Have you heard that before? And I believe that's true. God is the only one that can fill it. Yeah, I remember, years ago when I was pastoring a church in Iowa. I was in Oskaloosa, Iowa. And down the road, there was a prison in Newton, Iowa. And well, I had done a lot of prison ministry through my motorcycle ministry, but I had the opportunity to preach a class every single Monday night when I was down there. And we had, this was a very unusual circumstance, we had a prison there, it's a big prison, and there was one whole wing of the prison, 207 guys in that wing, in that one block, 207 guys, and they were all committed Christians. In fact, they had to be Christians to be in that block, 207 of them. It was a program, I can't remember the name of it, it was IAFF or IFFA or something like that. But it was only, it had just begun, and it was only going on in three states, South Dakota, Texas, and not sure what the other state was, Minnesota, I think. But anyway, they all had to be Christians. And it was part of Chuck Colson ministry. I don't know if you have heard of Chuck Colson, but he did a lot of prison ministry. And they found the recidivism of Christians that it was very low. They had to meet certain things. They had to, you know, they had to tell everybody that they were a Christian. They had to have a job when they got out. They had to have a mentor, somebody that would. But anyway, the recidivism was very low. And I remember every single Monday night that I would go there, I would teach them for, it was a couple hours, 2 or 3 hours, I don't remember what it was. But the first thing they wanted me to do every single Monday night was re-preach my sermon from Sunday. They were hungry. They were spiritually hungry. Well, I didn't preach the whole sermon, but every single Monday night I got to preach a mini sermon before I did a Bible study with them. And it was so fulfilling. Well, the thing is that the program is no longer going on. The ACLU kind of took them to court and said that they couldn't spend government money to have church. So anyway, it was done away with, even though the recidivism was very, very low, and it was an excellent program. But anyway, the point of this whole thing is it is very easy to be spiritually hungry. Think of yourself being in prison. Think of yourself being in prison. How you just, you get that thirst, you get that hunger for Christ in your life. But Jesus has an answer to our spiritual hunger, doesn't he? He has compassion for us, it says. He has compassion for us in our need. And he offers us that spiritual food that feeds us. In verse 2 in our story, Jesus said, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And then he goes on in verse 3, if I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance. Well, the compassion, if you read the Bible at all, especially through Mark and through the other Gospels, if you read the Bible at all, you will read the compassion that Jesus had in his ministry, in his feeding of people, in his healing, and all that Jesus did, his serving. Jesus came from heaven. He came to earth to feed hungry people. That's what Jesus came for. In verse 6 through 8, Mark writes, he told the crowd to sit down on the ground. When he had taken the 7 loaves and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people, and they did so. They had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them also, and he told the disciples to distribute them. And the people ate. Can you imagine the scene? Sitting up on this hill and listening to Jesus preach and teach and heal people after 3 days without nothing to eat. I would think that bread and that fish must have tasted pretty good. I'm sure many of them just ate and ate and ate until they were so stuffed that they couldn't eat anymore. You know, Jesus not only preached a good sermon, and he healed those who were hurting, as the saying goes, he set a pretty good table. Bread and fish. Bread and fish, protein and carbs. All you could eat, full of nutrition for hungry bodies. Okay, let's, application time, let's bring it to us. Let's see, well, this is a good story, but what does it do for me? What can I get out of this? What is the Holy Spirit trying to tell me? Well, what about the food that Jesus offers us? The Bible tells us that it is the bread from heaven. John was another good writer. He had a pretty good gospel in the Gospel of John. And it says in chapter 6, verse 32 through 33, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. What was Jesus talking about? He was talking about himself, wasn't he? That spiritual food that Christ offers us, that spiritual food that Christ gives us, is he himself. Jesus gives us himself because of the compassion that Jesus has for us. He has offered himself as our spiritual nourishment. And we should take that nourishment in. We should take that food in and eat it daily. We should eat it daily, the food that he offers us. You know, we need to take in physical food to keep up our strength, don't we? We need that food. I think 3 days, that's just, I couldn't go that long. But that spiritual food, That's a daily thing too. That's something that we need every single day. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. Not only did he go to the cross to save us from our sins, but through the Holy Spirit, he feeds us every single day, every single moment of every day. Christ will nourish you. You only have to ask for it. We need that spiritual food. Once again in verse 3, Jesus said, "If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance." Those people had a long journey to get home, didn't they? And what I think Mark is trying to tell us here is so do we. We have a long journey taking us to our eternal home. Remember, I told you last week about sanctification, that theological term. Sanctification is that process that we go through for the rest of our lives. Once we're justified, then we go through a process of being sanctified before we're glorified. But this sanctification, for some of us, if you were saved as a child, this sanctification, this journey that you go on to become Christ-like, could go on for 80 years, you know. And as we find, there's a lots and lots of up and downs, isn't there? Well, if we don't let Jesus feed us as we're going on this journey, what happens to us? I know if I don't read my Bible for a while, or which feeds me, or if I don't go to church for a while, or if I don't fellowship with other Christians for a while, or if I don't pray for a while, what happens? What happens? I'm not getting that nourishment, am I? I'm not getting that food that Christ offers us. And in my journey, I could get pretty weak. On my journey home to heaven, I could get pretty weak. So I think that's what Mark is telling us here, that we need to continually eat the food that Jesus gives us. Earlier I asked the question, what is the difference about the food that Christ offers? And the answer, I think, is in the first sentence in verse 8. The people ate and were satisfied. That word satisfied, the food that Christ offers totally satisfies. It satisfies our spiritual hunger. The bread of life is the only food that will satisfy our spiritual hunger. I'm here to tell you, folks, alcohol doesn't do it. Drugs doesn't do it. Going out and spending a lot of money on spiritual things, that doesn't do it. Sex outside of marriage, that doesn't do it. You know, all these things that we try to feed ourselves, all of these meals that we try to go to, we may think that it satisfies us for a while, but it's only temporary. It's not like the food that Christ wants to give us. That food that will nourish us. In our story in verse 8, Mark tells us that the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. Now, there's a couple very interesting things that we might miss because most of us don't understand the original language. Most of us can't read Greek, right? So sometimes we don't quite understand what the writer is trying to say. But these folks back then, These folks back then that were reading this, or hearing it rather, they would have understood what Mark was saying. First of all, it was the word that was used for baskets was a whole lot different than the word that was used for baskets when he fed the 5,000 people. Remember when he fed the 5,000 people? There was 12 baskets left over of food after everybody ate. But these baskets, the word for baskets, these were just small baskets that only held a few scraps of food. But these baskets that Mark was talking about, that Jesus filled up, they were huge baskets. They were huge baskets, and they were 7 large baskets. And these baskets were big enough for a man or a woman to sit in, and they were pulled by ropes. So these folks, they would have understood this because it came out in the original language. So the baskets were different, and these folks would have understood it. But the other thing they would have understood was the number of baskets. In the Bible, quite often in the Bible, the number 7 represents completeness or satisfaction. If you read through the book of Revelation, you see the number 7 used a lot. And what it meant was the completion of God's work. So that number 7, these folks in that were reading Mark's gospel, they would have understood how the completeness, the satisfaction that they would have gotten from Christ himself. So I wasn't going to go into that so much because it is a little confusing. But it does matter because these people would have understood this. And these people, especially the folks that Mark was writing to in Romans, right? They were over in Rome and they were being persecuted. So what Mark was trying to get them to understand was that Christ would daily nourish them as they were going through all their hardships. So they would have definitely understood what Mark was saying. So to finish this off, I just want to say that Christ has compassion for all who hunger spiritually. Christ loves you so much, and he has so much compassion for you, that he offers to you the only food that will truly satisfy your hunger. So accept that food. Accept the food that Christ offers you. Let the bread of life fill you through all eternity. Know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and have a daily relationship with him that truly satisfies. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, you are so holy. You have, through Jesus Christ, not only forgiven us for our sins, but you have given us the bread of heaven. You have given us food that truly satisfies. And if we go to you daily, if we stay in touch with you daily, if we read your word daily, we pray daily, we fellowship with other Christians, we live our lives as you are calling us to live our lives, you will nourish us. We thank you. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Let us stand as we sing, Fill My Cup, Lord, hymn number 367.
Thank you.
May God bless you as you go out today, and may He feed you. May you thirst, and may God quench that thirst. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.